This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The tropical storm warnings right now. The system moving in on the U.S. tonight. Also, the manhunt, the takedown after a convicted murderer. Authorities say killing five members of a family in their vacation home. And what we learned late today. First, the tropical storm warnings posted for much of Florida, expected to potentially be the first named storm of the season. Damaging winds up to a foot of rain, and Rob Marciano is in the storm zone. Also tonight, there is news coming in at this hour about the escaped killer gunned down in a deadly shootout with police in Texas. That convicted murderer accused of killing those five members of a family, stealing their car. Tonight, the takedown and what we're now learning about the family. Pierre Thomas standing by. Former Trump advisor Peter Navarro indicted by the Department of Justice for refusing to cooperate with the January 6th committee. Rachel Scott live on the Hill. The Uvalde school shooting and the school police chief reportedly showing up on that scene without a radio. When did he learn about the children calling 911 from that classroom? Did he know in real time without a radio? And ABC News learning tonight less than 1 minute before the gunman entered a school employee pressing an internal alarm warning of an active shooter. President Biden's plea for a ban on assault weapons in this country, and if no ban, asking to raise the age from 18 to 21 to buy one. The shooter in Texas bought his the day after turning 18. The president pushing for expanded background checks and red flag warnings. Overnight, a House committee passing much of what the president is asking for. Not one Republican voting in favor. Overseas tonight, 100 days into the war in Ukraine, what President Zelensky is now saying tonight. There's also news here at home on the monkeypox outbreak here in the U.S. The growing number of cases, what the CDC is now reporting in how many states. The images coming in tonight, the Greyhound bus losing control, crashing on the I-10 freeway in Southern California. We do have news on the passengers. And overseas, the celebration for Queen Elizabeth's 70 years on the throne. Tonight, the royal family reunion, including Prince Harry and Meghan for the first time in more than 2 years. James Longman in London. And here at home tonight, something that happened last night we've never seen before. Who is our person of the week?
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we near the end of another week together. And we begin tonight with this tropical storm warnings. They are up at this hour. The system bearing down on Florida, gaining strength tonight on just the third day of this new hurricane season. Take a look. Tropical storm warnings in effect now from Key West to Miami, to Melbourne, Fort Myers, Sarasota. Millions there in Florida bracing for dangerous winds and up to a foot of rain. Wind gusts more than 50 miles an hour expected. That system nearing the coast, expected to become Tropical Storm Alex, the first named storm of this season. The outer bands already reaching Key West with huge waves and wind. And let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano, live in Naples, where the rain is coming down. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. This thing may not be a hurricane, but it's been pouring all day long here in Naples and much of southwest Florida, and it's still over 300 miles from this spot. Take a look at the radar. We'll show you the heavier rain. It extends from here to Key West all the way up to on the east side, where those tropical storm warnings go all the way up through Cape Canaveral. All right, the forecast is for this thing to become a tropical storm. Alex will be the name, making landfall sometime tomorrow afternoon with 45-mile-per-hour winds and then scooting off the coast. It could bring some serious rain and some wind, 30, 40, maybe 50-mile-per-hour winds, not just here in Naples, but in Miami and Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach as well. Might see some embedded tornadoes with this as well, so it's going to get dicey. Now, it does exit the coast pretty quickly, but not before it dumps upwards of a foot of rain for much of the southern tip of Florida. That will create some flash flooding and some stormy conditions over the next 24 hours. David.
The season begins. Rob Marciano leading us off here. Rob, thank you. To the other news this Friday night, and we are learning more at this hour. After a Texas fugitive, a convicted murderer, escaped from a prison bus, tonight authorities now say he killed five members of the same family in their vacation home before stealing their truck. what we now know about the family this evening and tonight how authorities took down the suspect overnight. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, now.
Tonight, a massive three-week-long manhunt for an escaped killer coming to a violent end in Texas. Authorities on the hunt for 46-year-old Gonzalo Lopez spotted the fugitive with alleged ties to a Mexican drug cartel in this stolen white pickup. After following him along a dark Texas road Thursday night, police used spike strips flattening all four tires as a wild and dangerous chase unfolded.
He actually started shooting when he was still here on the highway.
Moments later, investigators say Lopez crashed the pickup, got out, and opened fire.
After a short chase and a crash, Gonzalo Lopez exited the Chevy Silverado with a firearm and engaged law enforcement officers who engaged back and ultimately killed Lopez.
Tonight, police say Lopez, who's been on the run since May 12th, murdered a man and his four grandchildren in Centerville, Texas, about 4 hours away from the shootout scene.
It's five deceased in a house.
Investigators believe Lopez shot and killed the family in yet another mass shooting with an AR-15-style rifle inside the family's vacation home. He stole their truck and headed south. The children were all students enrolled in a Houston area school district. The superintendent releasing a statement saying, quote, "The loss of a student for any reason is heartbreaking, but to lose four in such a tragic way is excruciating." David, the district where the children went to school is offering counseling for students. It's apparently a very small and close community. David.
Pierre Thomas tonight. Pierre, thank you. We're going to turn now to the arrest of former President Trump's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, indicted tonight on charges of criminal contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena from the House committee investigating the January 6th attack. Rachel Scott at the courthouse in Washington tonight.
Tonight, a defiant Peter Navarro leaving a federal courthouse after being indicted on two counts of criminal contempt of Congress.
No American citizen should have to go through what I went through today, who is trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to do my duty to this country. I'm in an untenable position.
Trump's former trade advisor claiming he was handcuffed at an airport gate on his way to Nashville for refusing to comply with the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. Navarro was part of Trump's inner circle that pushed false claims about the 2020 election, even writing a book detailing his plan to overturn an election Trump lost. Lawmakers wanted him to turn over documents and testify. He refused, claiming his hands were tied, citing executive privilege. Overnight, the 72-year-old telling MSNBC he was worried about prison.
The average lifespan in America for an American male is 76 years old. If I were to go to prison for a year, which is what the contempt of charge could do to me, that would be about a fourth of my remaining life.
The indictment, a rare move by the Justice Department. Navarro now the second Trump advisor to face criminal charges. Steve Bannon surrendered to authorities in November, pleading not guilty, and is set for trial next month. The House has also recommended two more Trump associates, former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Dan Scavino, be charged with contempt. But so far, the Justice Department has not taken action against them.
So let's bring in Rachel Scott. She's live from U.S. District Court tonight. Rachel, we know the first of the January 6th hearings will be next Thursday night in prime time with Americans able to watch. And in the meantime, Peter Navarro, we know, could face time behind bars, could potentially, but there's still nothing forcing him to talk here.
That's exactly right, David. If convicted on both counts, Navarro would face up to 2 years behind bars and a maximum fine of $200,000, but he would still not be compelled to speak or to comply with investigators. As for those televised hearings, those are set to kick off next Thursday, David.
All right, Rachel Scott with us tonight. Thank you, Rachel. We turn next here to the investigation in Uvalde, Texas tonight. ABC News learning that Robb Elementary School had an internal alert system and that a teacher had actually triggered it less than a minute before the gunman actually got into that school, sending out an alert of an active shooter. Tonight, the New York Times is also reporting that that school police chief who was in charge on the scene arrived on the scene without his radio. So did he know about the children calling 911 from that classroom in real time? ABC's Marcus Moore in Texas again tonight.
Tonight, ABC News has learned that less than a minute before the gunman entered Robb Elementary, a school employee pressed an internal alarm on his cell phone, setting off a chain of alerts within the school, warning of an active shooter.
Guy with a rifle.
Seconds later, the shooter was in the school, opening fire on teachers and students. It comes as the New York Times reports the commander on the scene, School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo, did not have a radio on him when he joined the other police officers, according to their law enforcement sources. Investigators want to know whether the chief knew in real time about those desperate 911 calls coming from students.
Is there anybody inside of the building? Tyler is advising he is in the room full of victims at this moment.
According to the Times, 10-year-old Chloe Torres called 911 saying, quote, "There is a lot of bodies. I don't want to die. My teacher is dead. My teacher is dead. Please send help. Send help for my teacher. She is shot but still alive." Reportedly staying on with 911 for another 17 minutes while gunfire is overheard during part of that call. Chloe survived, her father confirming her account. Tonight, families of the victims want to know whether they could have been saved. 10-year-old Jacqueline Casares was alive when she was rescued, but later died at the hospital.
Full of little firecracker.
Today, a funeral for Jacqueline Casares. Cousins Jace Carmelo Luevanos and Jalen Silguero are being laid to rest too, their family calling them angels who always had a smile on their face. David, the lawyers representing Alfred Garza, the father of 10-year-old Amari Joe, are filing a petition as a first step towards a lawsuit against the manufacturer of the gunman's AR-15. This is the same team of attorneys that successfully sued the manufacturer of the rifle used in Newtown, Connecticut, back in 2012. David.
All right, Marcus Moore again tonight. Thank you, Marcus. And one more victim of gun violence to report tonight, this one in New Lisbon, Wisconsin, a man believed to be a former judge, the victim. A law enforcement source tonight confirming an incident at the home of former Juneau County Judge John Romer. The 68-year-old homeowner reported to be dead. Then a 56-year-old male was found in the basement with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was taken to a medical facility. Authorities say it appears to be a targeted act. Now to President Biden's plea overnight for gun reform in the wake of the latest mass shootings in this country. He's hoping for a ban on assault weapons, and if no ban, the president asked that we raise the age in this country from 18 to 21 to buy an assault-level weapon. The shooter in Texas bought his the day after turning 18. The president also pushing for expanded background checks and tougher red flag warnings. Overnight, a House committee passing much of what the president asked for, not one Republican voting in favor. Here's our senior White House correspondent, Barry Bruce.
Tonight, from New York to Kentucky and California. Americans protesting gun violence and demanding Washington finally take action. The president today insisting he hears them.
I'll do what I can to try to see if we have some real progress.
In a rare primetime address last night, Biden trying to bridge the divide.
This isn't about taking anyone's rights. It's about protecting children. It's about protecting families.
The president, all too familiar with this fight, again pleading for Congress to ban assault weapons or at least raise the purchasing age from 18 to 21, expand background checks, and enact safe storage and red flag laws to prevent guns from falling into the hands of people deemed to be dangerous. But even with a majority of Americans backing some of these proposals, any reforms in Congress are likely to be far more narrow. At a hearing yesterday, the bitter divide on full display.
Democrats are always fixated on curtailing the rights of law-abiding citizens.
We cannot keep doing this. An entire generation of children are learning that the adults they look up to cannot or will not protect them.
Overnight, the House Judiciary Committee passing much of what the president asked for.
The ayes have it.
But not one Republican members voting for it.
And Mary Bruce with us. And Mary, as you know, in New York State overnight, the state legislature passing a number of gun control measures, including that request from the president last night raising the age to purchase an AR-15-style rifle in New York State to 21 years old. Is there any other movement to report tonight elsewhere in other states?
Well, David, New York is now the seventh state to make changes to the minimum age requirement, but the first to do so after these recent massacres in Texas and Buffalo. In Utah, we know they are considering similar legislation. In New Jersey, the governor is pushing for these reforms. And in Arkansas, the Republican governor says changing the minimum age is worthy of a conversation. David.
All right, Mary Bruce back with us tonight. Thank you, Mary.
overseas tonight to the war in Ukraine, 100 days since Russia's invasion, and a defiant message from President Zelensky tonight, telling Russia, saying he's there, his team is there, and the people are there, vowing, quote, victory will be ours. But, of course, a terrible toll mounting, and the fighting now focused in the Donbass in the east, where the Ukrainians are losing ground, and after 100 days, no sign of any possible peace deal. We're going to turn our attention now overseas and to London and to the celebration for Queen Elizabeth's 70 years on the throne. On the second day of the Platinum Jubilee, a service of thanksgiving at St. Paul's Cathedral, Queen Elizabeth taking it as a day of rest, but members of the royal family were there, including Prince Harry and Meghan. ABC's James Longman now in London.
Tonight, a royal family reunion, giving thanks for the Queen's 70-year reign. Elizabeth herself not there, choosing to rest up after Thursday's celebrations. But this service of thanksgiving at the majestic St. Paul's Cathedral was led instead by Prince Charles and Camilla, who processed in with William and Kate. And for the first time in more than 2 years since stepping back from public duties, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle joined for the service. Controversial comments and interviews have left relations with the family strained, but they were all forgotten in the name of the mother of their nation. The Queen, watching the ceremony from Windsor Castle. Buckingham Palace says the 96-year-old monarch had experienced some discomfort at the celebrations yesterday. But her presence was centre stage at today's service.
Your Majesty, we are sorry that you're not here with us this morning, but we are so glad that you are still in the saddle. And we are glad that there is still more to come. So thank you for staying the course.
Across the UK today, the party goes on in honour of Britain's longest reigning monarch.
The longevity of her reign and the impact that she's had, I mean, as such a long female leader.
She's been such an inspiration to so many of us. I'm absolutely in awe of her. Her composure, her dignity, the way in which she has represented our country, the way she is revered and loved across the world. I think we couldn't ask for a greater head of our country than the Queen, to be honest with you. And we're very proud to be here today.
And everyone in desperate need of some joy these days. James, the Queen, I know, resting today, but of course she knows the celebration in her honor goes on. A big day tomorrow in the UK, the world watching.
Yeah, that's right, David. Another big day tomorrow. There's going to be a special horse race. We know how much the Queen loves horses. And then a huge concert at Buckingham Palace, the likes of Diana Ross and Elton John performing. Whether or not she appears herself, I think people here are just so proud to be able to celebrate 70 years on the throne for Queen Elizabeth II. David?
At 96, she deserves a celebration, James. Thank you. We're going to turn back here at home tonight and news on the economy and on jobs. Employers in this country creating 390,000 new jobs in May. That's higher than expected and across all sectors. The unemployment rate now unchanged at 3.6%. That's near a half century low. On the flip side, though, gas prices hitting a record high for the third time this week alone. The national average now $4.76 a gallon. AAA reporting at least 8 states now with gas at $5 or more, including Arizona, California, Illinois, and Nevada. Analysts for Gas Buddy warn the national average could hit $5 per gallon by June 17th in this country. When we come back here on a Friday night, the images coming in now, the Greyhound bus losing control, crashing on I-10 in Southern California. There is news on the passengers, and then the CDC with this update on monkeypox here in the U.S., the growing number of cases, and in how many states tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, emergency crews are on the scene of a Greyhound bus crash in Southern California. Authorities say at least 12 people were hurt when the bus blew a tire on the I-10 freeway in Riverside County. It's about 90 miles outside L.A. Losing control, hitting another car, then the divider. One person is being treated for a serious injury. The others are said to be okay and recovering. To the index tonight and to the number of cases of monkeypox now growing, spreading to more states in the U.S. The CDC now reporting at least 20 confirmed cases in 11 states now. California and New York with four cases each. Chicago and Philadelphia now reporting their first possible infections. The CDC insists the overall risk to the public remains low. Finally tonight, here the 94th Scripps National Spelling Bee. We love it every year. But last night, something we've never seen before, and the 14-year-old who showed us how it's done, our person of the week. Tonight, something we've never seen before at the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
That is correct.
Thank you.
It was down to just two. 12-year-old 7th grader Vikram Raju from Aurora, Colorado, and Harini Logan, 14, from San Antonio, Texas.
We're about to make some Spelling Bee history here.
For the first time in the Spelling Bee's history, the competition went into a sudden-death spell-off. 90 seconds to spell as many words as possible.
Phreatophyte.
Phreatophyte.
Gaidiang.
Gaidiang.
Vikram, spelling 15 words correctly.
Hantish.
Hottish.
Malbrook.
Malbrouck.
Ornithorhynchus.
Ornithorhynchus.
Harini, spelling 21 words correctly.
Moorhen.
Moorhen.
That 14-year-old 8th grader from Texas winning.
Harini, you are the 2022 Scripps National Spelling Bee champion.
This is just such a dream, and wow, I'm just overwhelmed.
Accepting her trophy with a message afterward for all of us.
I just had to take a deep breath and tell myself that I just go out there and do my best, and whatever happens, it happens.
And so we choose Harini and Vikram and all of the spellers. No 90-second round for us. We're just going to say goodnight.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.